From coast to coast and all around the globe, Richie and John, truth telling's their code. News, laughs, and love with a righteous tone. Loud, proud, never alone. It's the Richie and John Show, lighting up the way. Voices for justice, bold every day. Hope in their hearts, mics in their hands. Together we rise and together we stand. Richie and John, let's go.
From the Mutual Broadcasting System's Queer News Network, this is the Richie and John Show. News, entertainment, and lifestyle talk for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community and its allies. Here are your very well-adjusted, happy, and openly fabulous masters of ceremonies, Richie Roy and John McMullen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Richie and John. It is Newsday Tuesday. Here in the dog days of summer, this is the day of the week that we come to you with news from our community, the LGBTQ plus community. Everything you need to know and nothing you don't. And we've got some good stories and some not so good stories this week. You know, we always try to do a little bit of a mix of both. And of course, I'm here with our wonderful co-host from Richie and John HQ in Palm Springs. Hello, John McMullen. How are you?
Hello, Richie Roy. I'm okay. And I agree that this episode, I think, could actually kind of be Clint Eastwood themed. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, there are some stories that we aren't covering just because, you know, we can only cover so much. But there's some interesting stuff happening abroad, too. And, you know, maybe we'll get to that stuff next week. I have a good friend of the show, Elizabeth, who sent in some really good stories that I hope to get to either on Saturday or next Tuesday or whenever we can get to them, because Cuba is having some interesting stuff going on for the trans community in a good way, and Hong Kong as well. So some good news abroad. Here in the States, kind of a mixed bag. Yeah. And we'll start with a good story out of the Bay State, Massachusetts, of course, where Boston Children's Hospital says it will not back down from providing gender-affirming care to trans youth, despite mounting political pressure, online threats, and federal funding concerns. In a public statement, the hospital's gender multi-specialty service reaffirms its commitment, calling care for transgender and gender diverse youth a, quote, standard of care grounded in scientific evidence. The statement comes as several institutions, including Children's Hospital Los Angeles and Stanford Medicine, shut down similar programs in response to legal and political threats. Boston Children's, home to the nation's first pediatric trans health program, has faced bomb threats and disinformation campaigns, most notably from the social media account Libs of TikTok, our most favorite wood chipper fodder, Chaya Rychik. The hospital condemns the wave of anti-trans legislation sweeping the country and says it will continue to support both patients and staff. We are here to affirm, uplift, and advocate, the statement reads, and we remain committed to doing all we can to support their care and well-being. Good for them.
Yep. You know, and I'm not surprised, because we often see real leadership and people taking a tough but progressive and appropriate stand on medical related issues out of New England, and in particular out of the Boston area. They have been a massive leader in dealing with the opioid crisis in this country, and there are very progressive views in helping deal with people who are unfortunately afflicted with that addiction. And why their programs are not followed by every hospital in the country is just absolutely beyond me. We would save so many thousands of lives in America if every hospital took the approach that Boston General takes.
Well, I mean, it goes to the, I think the answer is that medicine and moralizing should not mix. And, you know, what we're seeing in this country right now, I mean, we've seen it for many years in many different ways, but we're seeing it right now in a really fever pitch way, is infiltration of morality into the provision of medical care. I mean, you know, things like, you know, several years ago, we saw little baby steps, like pharmacists trying to get out of providing Plan B or other types of medication because they of their, quote, sincerely held religious beliefs. And, you know, now, of course, we have a federal government that is using every lever possible to make it impossible for trans youth to exist or enjoy their lives or get the care that they need and deserve. Again, I really like that their statement said that care for trans youth is a standard of care grounded in scientific evidence, because yeah, it is.
Right.
But these people don't care about science. They care only about ideology and control of bodies and fear of genitals and fear of sexual difference. So, I mean, and we've seen, you know, major institutions, major hospitals, I mean, I think NYU Langone being one, you know, this mentioned Children's Hospital, Los Angeles and Stanford Medicine. These are huge institutions with tons of money and tons of clout rolling over, just like the major networks, like the biggest law firms, like the biggest universities. And it's pathetic to see, because these are the most well suited to stand up, because they've got the deep pockets and they have the voices. They have the people who they can talk to, you know, in Washington, and they have the donors and they have all that, but they're shirking their moral responsibility. But Boston Children's Hospital isn't, so good for them.
Yeah, congratulations to them. Well, we can move right on to Oklahoma and deal with another situation, an organization, state-run organization, that also has a relationship to your friend, Ms. Rychik. Oklahoma's right. Top education official is under investigation after two board members say that they saw pornography playing on a television in his office during a state board of education meeting. By the way, I hope you enjoy our show artwork this week. State Superintendent Ryan Walters, known for his push to put Bibles in public schools and anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, is accused of streaming a video featuring nude women during a closed-door session on July 24th. Of course, what do you expect from these, I can't even say the word because it starts with R. Board members Becky Carson and Ryan Deatherage, what a name, say that they confronted Walters, who appeared confused and eventually turned off the screen. The superintendent denies any wrongdoing, calling the reports politically motivated lies. Of course, the state's Office of Management and Enterprise Services is leading the inquiry. Top Republican leaders, including Senate President Pro Tem Lonnie Paxton and Governor Kevin Stitt, say that the incident demands transparency. You know, kind of like the situation with a purported child molester in New York City and somewhere in some island in the Caribbean. Well, anyway, Walters has made national headlines for culture war policies, including efforts to embed Christian nationalist ideals in public education and remove books that he claims are pornographic. Well, you know, you got to do your background, your research, you know, to be able to talk about these things. So I'm sure that that's all he's doing. Reminds me, why can't I not remember that guy's name? He was part of that religious right organization, I think out in Colorado, and he used to purport to be one of those major players in fighting gay rights and trying to take away any victories that we had. And yet he was often seen, like, at bathhouses and all that, supposedly doing research. You remember that? I got to go look that up. We should talk about that at some point, maybe on one of our weekend shows.
Mm-hmm.
We really could do, like, a whole volume of programs, I think, on global hypocrisy in the LGBTQ community.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, and now I'm going to blank on the name. Maybe you'll remember it. The Toe Tapper. Oh,
yes. That was Larry
Craig?
Craig from Idaho.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
and he got caught tapping his toe in Minneapolis at the airport.
Yeah. And then there was another one. And
there was also the guy, Ted Haggard in Colorado.
Luggage?
I don't remember if it was luggage, but I do remember him having a relationship with a male whore who actually was in my studio at the radio station I was the program director of when I first came to Palm Springs. And he came into town and he was going to tell his story on our evening show that was hosted by a guy named Bill Feingold. And then he got cold feet and decided he wasn't going to tell the story. Well, I had invited a guy who was a news reporter, an investigative reporter by the name of Nathan Baca, to come and hang out with us that evening so that we could get a little airplay on the local ABC TV station in town, KESQ. And when he decided he was not going to do this, this was during a commercial break, and I was not in the studio. It was just him and Feingold. But what Nathan and I did not know until they got back to the TV station was that the camera that they had left in the booth with the host and the guest was running during the commercial while they talked about this. And so the story still made it to the air that night. It was pretty funny. And of course, everybody went ape shit nationwide because another one of these hypocrites gets busted. You know, he was one of these televangelists at one of those mega churches in the greater Denver area. I don't know. Like, why do you do this? You know, just be who you are. Own it. Because the lie is always going to make it worse than the actual offense itself.
Yeah. And, you know, so this one, you know, again, the hypocrisy is right here. You know, I mean, and he, and the idea that what that some Democrat like hacked his computer and put some porn on, it doesn't make sense. Like, obviously, Occam's razor is he was watching some Pornhub on the wrong tab and he clicked over and whoops, everyone saw it. Okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. You know, but the hypocrisy's right there. Just like, I mean, another story that we didn't have time to cover this week, but just is worth looking into, is one of our very favorite melted candles, Ken Paxton.
Right. From Texas.
His wife is getting a divorce from him.
Right. We had this story actually last week, and I think we just ran out of time because we had a lot of stories to cover. But they're all fucking hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten to the core.
Yeah. A
friend of mine who used to be a Republican is definitely one of those never Trump guys that was what he considers, you know, a purist to the, you know, to the founding fathers and all that nonsense. He got a little, I think, irritated with me the other day on social media because I actually declared that every Republican in this country, those who are still active with voting for them, supporting them in any way, shape, or form, is a supporter of child rape. Because if you support the people who are in power in the current regime, you support a child rapist. And we're learning more and more and more of this almost every day now in the headlines that are, you know, making their way around not just our country, but around the world. And it's unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, as much as the president wants to be, I think, loved and adored by so many people and always talks about ratings and popularity and all that kind of crap, it's amazing to me that he has not had a heart attack and dropped dead from having to face the fact that he is, without a doubt, the most loathed person in world history. He is so hated so many places around the world.
I mean, I would say he's actually a mix of things, because there have been a lot of people, you know, political figures and historical figures who have been hated and quite roundly hated. But the mix, the heady blend of both hatred and absolute ridicule, that's special, because his stupidity is remarkable in addition to his cruelty. So, you know, so especially, you know, you see him sitting with European leaders. I mean, and they're looking like someone left a dirty diaper on the table, you know, because he's sitting there just saying like this dumbest things, so ill-informed, lying, getting basic facts wrong, you know, telling people who, you know, foreign leaders whose country speaks English, that they speak English really well and their accent's good. Like, he's on the world stage just making an absolute, you know, fool out of himself and this country. And so it's a mix of not only being really hated, but also just being reviled as a dumb idiot. So that is special. But speaking of dumb idiots, I see we had the same thing in mind. Yeah. Speaking of dumb idiots.
Yeah. And this one actually was a runner up for the ugliest person in the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've always thought that she was like, and I'm not one to pick on people for their looks. I'm not. But if anybody's going to get picked on for their looks, well, Miss Piggy, who sometimes is mistaken for Henrietta Hippo, her hypocrisy is off the charts, too.
Yes. So this is someone who you probably have heard this name. We've probably talked about her before because of all of the times that she's lost her attempts to get an appeal. This is former Kentucky clerk Kim Davis. If you remember, she refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples in 2015, was briefly jailed for contempt, and has spent nearly a decade in legal battles with two couples she denied. Every time she goes for another round, she loses even more in terms of things like legal fees. You know, she'll not only lose, but she'll have to pay the legal fees on the appeal, on the appeal, on the appeal. So she is just, she's in the hole, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in this, like, you know, this quixotic attempt to seek her justice, I guess, for being a dick. So now this time she is again asking the Supreme Court to take up her case, this time with the added goal of overturning marriage equality. In a new petition, attorneys with the anti-LGBTQ plus group Liberty Council argue that Davis's religious beliefs should shield her from damages and claim that the 2015 Obergefell ruling was unconstitutional. They cite the court's 2022 decision overturning Roe v. Wade as precedent, but legal experts say Davis's case, denied once before in 2020, is unlikely to sway the court. Lower courts have repeatedly rejected her defense, and she's been ordered to pay over $350,000 in damages and legal fees.
Do I hear $500,000?
Let's get there. The Supreme Court has not weighed in yet on whether it will hear the case. It would just be so awful if this person's like groundless, baseless case is what the six jerks on the Supreme Court decide to take up and use to strike down gay marriage, because they're dying to do it. They're just waiting for the right moment. I don't think this is the right. I just kind of looked a little bit like into how they're framing it, and it's not the best. It's not the best framing. It's pretty tacked on. It's like, you know, where she has religious freedom and also Obergefell.
There is Clarence, Uncle Tom.
This current court has shown no interest in stare decisis. So, you know, they might just take it up and say, yeah, you know, everyone has a religious right to just not even follow any kind of laws if they think that it doesn't apply to them because they don't like gay people, and gay marriage is over, you know, moving on. But
we should have a religious right to piss down their throats or something.
To take the six Republican members of the Supreme Court to Dory Alley.
Yeah.
For the weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They might have fun, though. That's the problem.
This last weekend.
What?
It would have been a good use of their time this past weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So the next story, I'm interested to hear what my co-host, John McMullen, has to say about this, because I have some thoughts, but I'm going to hold them until I hear what John has to say.
I'll tell you the truth. I'm reading this for the first time right now. Mm-hmm. This was a late addition to my stack of news, and I am absolutely, the headline does catch my eye. So let me share it with you all. The nation's largest LGBTQ advocacy group is hitting the road. The Human Rights Campaign, HRC, launches its American Dreams Tour today in Columbus, Ohio, part of a months-long campaign to share queer stories and build support in Republican-led states. The tour, which runs through November, aims to push back against what organizers describe as a rise in political attacks and cultural erasure. Stops are planned in cities like Las Vegas, Atlanta, Dallas, and Nashville, each focusing on local issues from HIV care in Ohio to Black LGBTQ leadership in Georgia. HRC President Kelly Robinson says the tour is about reclaiming the power of personal stories in the face of nearly 600 anti-LGBTQ bills introduced this year. She adds, "We're showing up in places where harm is happening and where hope is rising." The tour, comes as LGBTQ advocates warn of a national backslide in rights, especially for transgender Americans. More cities are going to be announced in the coming weeks, says the HRC. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I'm not very impressed with the job that the HRC has done on, well, just about everything that they've touched in the last 30. I think that they're, by and large, and especially considering the amount of money that we have shoveled into their treasure chest, I think they are the most ineffective organization in the LGBTQ community. And I don't say that to be mean or be an asshole or anything like that. I say it because when you look at, you know, like, I just cannot, I'm sorry. I know that, Richie, you and I got very married to this topic, but I just cannot forgive the fact that some pipsqueak who is relatively unknown by himself, more or less, a guy named Robbie Starbuck, managed to take on giants in corporate America, giants in the Fortune 1000, and destroyed DEI and, you know, equality support programs that were in these major companies that have hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of queer employees from coast to coast. Like, you're going to go out and tell our stories? You're going to tell our stories when you can't even keep your own story straight with those people who you're supposed to be policing. Give me a break. And send me back a check for all the money I've sent you over the years.
I'm so with you on this. When I heard this story, when I read this story, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, the only thing HRC, as far as I know, has done in the past 30 years is get a bunch of people to put a blue bumper sticker with a yellow equal on it on their Subarus. Beyond that, unclear. And in the moment recently, they've been completely derelict. You know, we've talked about the Robbie Starbuck thing. And here, I mean, in the moment of like a literal authoritarian Christian nationalist fascist takeover, they're doing a whistle stop tour to tell stories like in places that are already gay meccas, you know, Columbus, Dallas, Nashville, Atlanta, Vegas. These are the places they're going to, places that are already safe places, parking the bus to be surrounded by a small retinue of people who agree with them to tell a story and move on to the next safe place. That's the brave move they're doing. That's the story they're telling.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to be effective, great. Try going to Reno, Athens, Georgia, or better yet, Savannah or Augusta. Maybe go to Corpus Christi in Tennessee,
Murfreesboro, or something.
Like, pick your spot. I mean,
right?
How many stories came out of Tennessee in the last 2 years that you and I have talked about?
Mm-hmm.
A treasure trove of them. It's like, go somewhere where you can have an impact and tell people what we're really about and who we really are.
They're just not rising to the moment. And even this quote, this is, again, this is not from a spokesperson or whatever. This is from the president, Kelly Robinson. Yeah. Her quote being, I will read it again, "We're showing up in places where harm is happening and where hope is rising." Where's this hope rising? Tell me where are these groundswells of hope? I'm not seeing them. I see maybe anger is rising. The fever pitch of rage is correctly rising. Hope rising? Give me a break. That is pablum, and that is the most cheesy PR speak. Because again, HRC is too afraid to ruffle feathers, even when we're literally like watching, you know, whatever, the man in the high castle or whatever, you know, on television, like playing out in real life. But they're not interested. They just want to go tell some cute stories in places where they're safe. I'm so annoyed with this.
Kelly Robinson, look me in the eye right now. Look me in the eye. You are as useless as tits on a bull.
It just showed me just more than ever that HRC is just to be ignored at this point. Just ignore them.
They're so out of touch.
And the idea that they're still considered kind of, you know.
And if you're looking for somebody in our community to write a check to, again, I believe that, and there are a number of organizations that are worthwhile, but I can tell you that one that has accomplished a lot of stuff on our behalf over the last several years is NCLR, which was the National Center for Lesbian Rights. It's now expanded to being the National Center for LGBTQ Rights, and an organization that I have enormous respect for. Their head of their legal program there, Shannon Minter, is victorious in many, many efforts that he has led. Their former executive director, Kate Kendall, was a personal friend of mine because I embraced that organization because of how much they did accomplish. And, you know, they did it by working hard, not by, you know, going out and beating their chests and say, you know, saying we have a multi-million dollar building in Washington, D.C. that is, you know, somehow some sort of a castle for our community to look up to and see what we've accomplished. No, I don't have an awful lot of regard for the HRC, and it's been a long time since I have, and I know that makes me not a very popular person with a lot of people in our community because they're proud of that blue sticker and gold equal sign. But I'm not sure why, because I don't think most of them, other than the parties that they get to go to as members of the federal club or whatever, I don't think they have a fucking clue.
Mm-mm. They really don't. It's a bummer.
You know somebody who does have a clue, though? And he's somebody who has been here in Palm Springs, actually showed up before we had the No Kings Day rally. We had another event that I think happened on, was it May Day? Was one of those national days of protest that we had around the country. And he was actually one of the speakers here. He is a congressman from over on the other side of the mountains. He's over in on the coast from Long Beach. And his name is Robert Garcia. And talk about an out gay man who is serving in Congress, who is holding people accountable, really putting their feet to the fire, and who knows how to start a fire when it comes to dealing with issues that are important to us. Robert Garcia is demanding answers right now from Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. over what he calls the shameful dismantling of HIV and AIDS programs under the Trump administration. And in a letter that was co-signed by Representative Raja Krishnamurthy of Illinois, Garcia, who is openly gay, calls out the elimination of CDC prevention divisions, halted vaccine research, and deep cuts into both domestic and global HIV funding, including the PEPFAR program. Fortunately, that was brought back, but has been credited with saving 26 million lives. The lawmakers warn that the changes could lead to over 140,000 new HIV cases and 127,000 additional deaths in the U.S. alone over the next 5 years. Garcia questioned whether these moves were rooted in science or in the HIV misinformation that Kennedy has spread for decades. The letter requests full documentation behind funding decisions and warns that slashing prevention and treatment services could sicken vulnerable Americans and worsen the global epidemic. Why couldn't the Kennedy family put him in an airplane? With John Jr.
Right. Yeah. RFK Jr. is a complete disaster. And yeah, I mean, the gutting of so many important public health things, you know, from the CDC to, you know, defunding things like NIH and NSF, and in general, just showing contempt for real science and being prone to complete misinformation, junk science, like things like that, you know, beef tallow is the way to go. Probably ivermectin cures, you know, COVID. All the dumb stuff. He's all about it, you know. And you know, there are just so many stories about him doing things, you know, like swimming in a contaminated, you know, lake.
In the creek.
You know, which public health officials were like, "Don't swim in that. That creek is full of microorganisms and Giardia and whatever." And he's like, "I'm going to take my whole family and swim in it because science sucks." And yeah, but these things that they are doing have real life effects, as Robert Garcia is indicating, and these effects will lead to death. These are people who will have already pretty much have blood on their hands and will have more blood on their hands as they continue to do the things that they want to do. One of the things that I saw, a story that is related to this, and it's not specifically about HIV, but it has an effect on it, is there are reports that RFK Jr. is looking to dismiss all of the members of the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, which is an advisory panel of primary care experts. And their whole job is basically to talk about, to look into ways to prevent illness. And so the kind of things that they look into are things like mammograms, colonoscopies, ways to manage high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, depression, anxiety. And so this panel, it's a mix of all kinds of different nonpartisan experts in this field. And the thing is, why it matters is because their recommendations undergird what insurance companies will cover. And so that we had that Supreme Court ruling that said that the mandates, for instance, for free PrEP, is which comes sort of out of this regime under the Affordable Care Act, that's legal. So, we have free PrEP now. But if this panel is completely disbanded and replaced by lunatics, and if anything, we've heard RFK Jr. say things back in the day, like poppers caused AIDS, and thing, with things like cancer, that raw milk, a mother with raw milk, for the baby is better than a vaccine. So if he picks the people who are going to be on this panel, we might see things that all of us should want, like vaccines and preventative care for screenings for cancers and free PrEP being on the chopping block. These people don't believe in any of that.
Well, you know what? Just to celebrate this, I am going for the triple crown of giving Robert F. Kennedy Jr. the big old grand fuck you tomorrow. I'm actually going and getting COVID and my flu shot and the RSV vaccination tomorrow morning. So I'll be thinking of him as I do that, and I'll be praying for him to drop dead from all that he doesn't do that makes sense. I'm tired of these people getting to live. I've never really taken that attitude before. I never wanted to see other people face unfortunate situations, be sick, die, be facing diseases. I want everybody to enjoy their life. But I am so sick and tired of this nonsense and the crap that it brings upon other people's lives because others are infected with misinformation to think that, this isn't going to happen. It doesn't matter what I do. My health is not going to affect somebody else and the choices they make, when in fact it does. And it has. It has taken, hundreds of thousands of lives in the last several years now. I just, fuck them. Fuck them all. Look, if you want to kill yourself, go ahead. Just stay the fuck away from me and mine.
And so many of us. Including your constituents.
Both of my parents this week and last have been reinfected with COVID. Mm-hmm. And they're in their 80s. And I'm very concerned about that because they've not been going out a lot and exposing themselves to a lot of people. But, you only have to go to the grocery store, or in the case of my dad, who had to have a medical procedure done and went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And obviously their visit to that institution of better living has led to being exposed to people who had been carrying that virus. And people don't care anymore. They're not wearing masks. They're not mandated to. And now I have to think about, will my 87-year-old dad make it through another bout with COVID?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is it's just remarkable. There's like different levels, because I kind of think, there's the supporter. I mean, there's the person, the MAGA person, who is just sort of low information, angry, and just ready to be a jerk. You see just sort of these videos on social media of just some random angry middle-aged white guy harassing some poor you know, woman of color who's just trying to be at the grocery store and existing. And that's bad. That's bad. And then there's the next level. There's a level I think you're talking about. And I'm thinking about the Carolyn Levitts, the Christie Gnomes, the Stephen Millers, the people who are architects and true in that world, in the White House and in that. And Mike Johnson, I mean, the primary enabler of destroying this country's form of government. And these are people who, when we have our Nuremberg trials, whenever that happens and wherever that happens, at that point, you know, global warming might be so bad that we'll have to have them on the Arctic Circle. But in any case, when we have them, when the Tribunal of Penguins is convened and these people are brought before them for justice, these are the people that I just, the wickedness of them, of someone like a Christie Gnome who just will gleefully tweet just a joke about someone who they have sent illegally to a supermax prison in South America to be raped and tortured, who did nothing wrong, who was here legally under an asylum, properly under asylum, which is a protection that people are afforded. And but you know, to just joke about that, to joke about basically being an inhumane person, hoping that someone just never comes back and just lives a life of getting raped and assaulted until they die in a foreign country where our country sent them. The fact that that person, when I go and I travel internationally, which I did recently, that I have to see her face on those flat screens at the TSA when I'm waiting to go through the stupid check line, seeing that witch's face turned my stomach. And I heard a couple people behind me were it was early in the morning, you know, they were still eating their breakfast sandwich, but they were like, look at that bitch. You know, like, it's just horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Never before have I so much wanted to do what I want to do now, which is to take one of those handheld carrot graters and run it up inside their cunt.
I mean, it just is horrible. And you know, I will say this story was not on our list. And it's not really, this isn't even a story. We're not going to go into it. But I will say, in terms of Carolyn Levitt, Trump, all of that, if you haven't paid attention, and I'm sure you've seen it already, I love, of course, South Park, the South Park guys, biting the hand that feeds them in a moment where that is the brave thing to do, because yeah. You know, it's
yeah, I mean, and when you say feed them, we need to point out that in light of everything else that has gone on in the Paramount family, which includes Comedy Central and CBS and a number of other networks, CMT and Black Entertainment Television and so on and so forth, that the creators of South Park, actually following that all that hubbub around 60 Minutes and CBS News and Stephen Colbert and The Late Show last week, signed a deal with Paramount where they were licensed or contracted for $1.5 billion, which to me, in light of the timing, just seems almost unbelievable. But good for them. $1.5 billion of those bigoted, idiotic dollars from Paramount that are going to go into Matt and Trey's pockets. And what they did was so earth-shattering, groundbreaking, and you know that there was a cascade of ketchup gliding down the walls on the second floor of the White House.
And, you know, and to kind of put, like, if you don't kind of know the whole story, you know, there's some interesting pieces about this. So one of them is that, you know, like you mentioned, there was the whole thing with Stephen Colbert and 60 Minutes and all of that. All of this is really in the shadow of Paramount trying to merge with an entertainment company called Skydance Media. Interestingly, Skydance Media is owned by Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison's son. Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, who recently became the second richest man in the world, has also sort of used his riches in support of MAGA. and is basically essentially buying a media outlet for his son through Skydance.
Unfortunately, son of a bitch lives here in my neighborhood.
So that's kind of the background. So the reason why Paramount was so skittish with Colbert and with 60 Minutes is that the FCC had to approve this merger. The FCC did approve the merger with a bunch of caveats that are no brave media person would approve of. Basically, you know, appointing an ombudsman that reports directly to Trump when it comes to content that's going to be on the channel, which is just so pathetic. He now just basically has a red bat phone to say, I don't like what I just saw on your channel, get rid of it. But what I love about that is, so that's the backdrop. And they had recently inked this huge deal for South Park for streaming rights and for new episodes. And I believe this is the first episode of the new tranche of, I think, you know, it's like 50 episodes that they ordered. The first episode out of the gate was absolutely blisteringly burn it down about not only Trump, but about Skydance, about the network, about Paramount. It was unsparing. It even had, you know, a PSA about Donald Trump that showed him, you know, basically crawling through a desert naked, you know, flailing around in the sand, just daring everyone to be mad at them. And I love it. And it is brave. And if you haven't seen before, there's a really great documentary called 6 Days to Air, The Making of South Park. And if you haven't seen it before, you should watch it. It's very good. But it also shows how the way that they've made this show from the beginning is they turn an episode within a week. And so it's how they were able to do this. Because even a show like The Simpsons or something, it takes a long time to make the show. And so you can't be that fast. And so it's just, I love this story. And apparently, you know, of course, predictably, the president was apoplectic. All of his followers are calling on, you know, heads to roll, whatever.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that the president is not into small penis humiliation?
At least not unless it's a Russian hooker, in which case, you know, all bets are off. And we know that tape is out there somewhere. We know it. In any case. So that was a little bit of a detour. But, you know, there are stories. I mean, John and I get together and we talk about the stories that we're going to cover. And there are always so many that we won't have time to get to. But we managed to get to that one, and I'm glad we did, because, you know, we do talk about so much lack of bravery that, you know, between the hospital in Boston and South Park, when we do see people standing up against all odds, and, you know, in light of the fact that they might face some major consequences. Right now, that's amazing.
I have to admit, that kind of stuff gets me hard. It gets me hard.
So our final story for this Tuesday
does not get me hard.
It is a boner killer for sure. And it is the opposite of bravery. And it is about our good old friends, not so much friends, our good old enemies, the Log Cabin Republicans. So the Log Cabin Republicans describe themselves as the nation's largest organization representing LGBTQ conservatives and allies. But critics say the group increasingly backs policies and politicians that undermine its stated mission. No shit.
By the way, I just want to mention that there is a really great and in-depth op-ed piece that is at LGBTQNation.com, and the fact that we're talking about this kind of originates with this story that was published there. And so I encourage you to go read it, because there's a lot more information than we can share with you here tonight, but it's definitely worth a read. So if you go to LGBTQNation.com, you'll be able to read more up on this story. But as you were saying, Richie, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. So Log Cabin Republicans was formed in 1977 to oppose California's anti-gay Briggs initiative. And the group has since worked. I'm laughing because whatever. The group has since worked to build LGBTQ plus acceptance within the Republican Party. Ha ha! Good work, guys. But over time, it has endorsed GOP figures like Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose platforms include bans on gender-affirming care, anti-LGBTQ plus school policies, and opposition to same-sex marriage. Not to mention the fact that at this point, the Republican Party is undergirded by Project 2025, which seeks to like literally erase gay and trans people from the planet and make us illegal and put us into gulags. So good work again, Log Cabin Republicans, for all what you've done for us. Anyway, while the group's national website supports anti-discrimination laws and international LGBTQ plus rights, just do it, but not in our country because Donald Trump doesn't like it. Its current leadership has defended the quote, don't say gay law and echoed rhetoric targeting transgender Americans, read LGB without the T. And probably not even the B, and really, Log Cabin Republicans, not even the L. These are white gay guys. Come on, yeah. To be real.
And they're only into twinks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, sure.
Most of the 80-year-old Republican gays that I see are usually chasing after like 16, 17-year-old twinks.
And despite years of effort, many Republicans continue to distance themselves from the Log Cabin Republicans. And some state party conventions have refused to even acknowledge the group. And if you have ever paid attention to things like CPAC, the Log Cabin Republicans are always putting out a sad press release when they tell them that you are not fucking welcome. I mean, they'd rather have, you know, the MyPillow guy. Or, you know, or David Duke or someone than the Log Cabin Republicans. Because they're queers.
How far down the totem pole they have landed now in terms of the people that they can attract to their get-togethers? I don't know if you've seen the latest on who they have invited to be their VIP speaker.
Oh, no, who?
One guess.
Milo?
Better. Melania Trump.
For?
Obviously, hooker.
Wait, to speak where? CPAC?
No, at one of their events, their convention or gathering that they're doing.
Oh, Log Cabin Republicans.
Log Cabin Republican, yeah.
Oh, they've got Melania?
Yeah, they got Melania coming.
Now, are you sure that they're not getting some kind of like AI, like some Zoom AI Melania or something?
In fairness, it could be something that they pulled out of the dumpster at Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I mean, sad. Log Cabin Republicans just are the biggest bummers.
You know, I think that actually that they're a group of masochists. You know, they probably belong in our leather S&M community because they really, truly love getting flogged by the Republican Party. Time and time and time again for exactly the things that you've just mentioned. You know, they're constantly being told you're not welcome in our house.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and pretend like you're the same as us. Just keep writing those checks.
Keep you
we're
right.
We're not going to let you in, but we're going to take your money because we take everybody's money. We're not particularly particular. Anybody wants to give us money, we're going to take it and do anything we want.
And if you ever kind of like pay attention to like the Log Cabin Republicans, like their kind of messaging, the thing that is so striking about it to me is their relentless and I would say insane optimism. Because what is it? The insanity is like doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different outcome. And so you look at their press releases and they're like, well, they wanted to make being gay a mandatory death sentence. But, you know, we spoke with some of our people and now it's just a mandatory life in prison. So, you know, we're making strides. Their incrementalism is so hilarious. They're like, you know, our goal is by the year 2050, the Republican Party will like acknowledge that gay people should exist and not die. They're so it is so crazy to me. They're wild, but yeah. So they suck. Sorry, guys. Not interested in what you're peddling. And
when I was in New York City working for Sirius Satellite Radio, we had a couple of events that we hosted for other groups, and one of them was for the Commercial Closet, which a friend of mine, Michael Wilkie, had been the executive director of, and we had this party in our lobby. one night after hours, and a number of people who showed up for that were members of the New York chapter of Log Cabin Republicans. When they found out that I was the station manager of Sirius OutQ, they asked me about why we did not have a show for them. Michelangelo Signorelli was doing a show for the left on the station, but why were you not having one for us? And I told them quite simply, because we are not running a channel for self-loathing queers. And that's what you guys are. You know, I mean, you want to make yourselves, in your eyes, seem like you're better than anybody else in our community, and you're not. In fact, you are the weakest link. You know, I mean, and they are. They are really self-loathing hypocrites. And all they, if I can just say one sentence to define Log Cabin Republicans, to me is, you know, we got ours, fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see and hear them when they're talking about all their, you know, and believe me, there's plenty of them out here in the desert too, you know. So I have no use for them. And, you know, I can see that we can have varying viewpoints on public policy, but just to shut conversation down on issues around our full equality and equal treatment under the law, there's no room to have a discussion. If you can't respect individuals' right to just simply exist, you shouldn't.
And, you know, this goes back again to this kind of marketplace of ideas thing, this neutral marketplace of ideas. You know, we should be able to, you know, and for many years, you know, in high school, I did speech and debate, you know, having a liberal arts education, there is this general idea that more thought and more discussion yields better outcomes. I think cognitive psychology and all that stuff shows that that's not necessarily true. You can anchor really wrong thoughts in people's brains and it's very hard to get them out, all that kind of stuff. And the thing is with the Log Cabin Republicans, a lot of times they want to talk, or gay, even gay conservatives, whatever, or even gay apolitical gays, they kind of want to talk about things in a vacuum, you know, and say, well, you know, I don't like Trump, but, you know, I like lower taxes, and, you know, I like, they kind of like pick and choose. But the thing is, you have to sort of just lay it out and say, okay, well, if you're supporting this, here are the knock-on effects, right? Because like, if you're voting for the Republican Party because you want lower taxes or something, you have to take the whole package. And part of that package, if you're a gay, is revocation of your rights. And it is a naivete to think that your rights are grandfathered in, actually. That's not how it works. So, you know, again, it's this, they have this idea, you know, and there's always a token, right? Like, what's his name? Richard Grinnell? Is that his name? Richard Grinnell?
Yes.
Oh, there's a gay who is in the administration. They love us. Do they?
Yeah, another gay fuckhead from here in the Coachella Valley.
Another Vichy gay who's there as a fig, you know, as again, this kind of fig leaf on the fact that they are just wholesale dismantling, you know, protections for gays whenever and wherever they can with every lever of power. And we're already seeing things, you know, this decision, the Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton, which is the age verification, was about age verification in Texas for websites. We're already seeing cases where there are localities that are using the Paxton decision and reading it expansively to say that it gives carte blanche to take LGBTQ books out of libraries, for instance, because they might harm children. People are running with that. And so, yes, if you love your lower taxes and you voted for that, you also voted for that.
Yeah. You know what else will harm children?
What?
The Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I believe we did a story a while ago about someone who did briefly get the Bible actually pulled from the library using the, you know, the classic, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander technique, and said, do we not like books that have like rape in them and slavery? And well, you should probably get rid of this book. But, you know, that lasted a hot second. But yes. Yeah. Point taken. In any case, Log Cabin Republicans, if you're listening to this show, give us a 5-star review and then hit unsubscribe, because, like, fuck you, actually. In any case,
yeah,
that's the story.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can do that, by the way, at info@RichieandJohn.com. info@RichieandJohn.com. We would love to hear from you, and especially if you've got a point you'd like to make on something that we've talked about, we'll share that. If you have an idea that you'd like us to maybe pursue on a future program, we'd be happy to hear from you about that as well. If you want to tell us to fuck off, well, go ahead and send us that too. We might laugh and throw it in the circular file, but, you know, we'll get a good jolt out of it.
Absolutely. So you get in touch with us, and if you don't, just listen, keep listening. Please subscribe. If you just found us on YouTube or wherever, somehow, click the subscribe button. Give us a good review. If you have a bad review, don't put that on there. Just email us at info@RichieandJohn.com and tell us what you didn't like, and we'll respond to you personally. But, you know, give us a 5-star review, at least, for being responsive. In any case, until next time, John, I hope you have a great week.
I think we're closer. I think we're actually closer to being able to get back to our substantial Saturdays. And I'm hoping that that will happen, if not by this coming weekend, by the following one. So don't hold your breath, but hold your breath.
Exactly.
And if you're a Log Cabin Republican, hold your breath twice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Richie and John is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests. If you have a problem with it, bugger off.
Freedom and equality, let it be clear. Being who you are, a fun, frisky, and out loud queer. From Mutual Broadcasting, we're breaking free. Living our truth, just you listen and see. Truth, just you listen and see.